Hi, my name's Teresa Cottam and I'm the Chief Analyst here at Omnisperience. In this issue of our Podzine, I'm going to focus on securing and assuring the connected experience and look at how service providers all over the world have identified this as a lucrative new source of revenues that boosts their ARPUs, a way of meeting their customers' expectations, and a strategic service that underpins their digital ambitions. I'm going to begin by sharing with you some insight into our new industry sector, CCAPS, Connected Customer Assurance and Protection Services, explain what these are, what service providers are doing, and what kind of vendors are active in this market. We hope you enjoy this issue. Telcos have long been in the game of providing cybersecurity and differentiated or guaranteed quality of service to their customers. So do we really need a new cybersecurity category? Do we need another acronym to remember? And how is this any different to what's already out there? These are all really good and valuable questions that we've been asked as we've rolled out this new cybersecurity category, CCAPS. But in this case, the existing labels that we have around cybersecurity mean that we weren't able to focus on, analyse or describe a new type of service that's sprung up. This isn't a new type of enterprise cybersecurity. Rather, this category sits alongside existing cybersecurity solutions to address a growing market that's currently poorly addressed. And that's the convergent B2C SME space. I'm not suggesting either that there isn't a solution already out there for SMEs or even for consumers, but what's happening is this particular space is transforming into something very different. So let's start by reviewing what's going on. Firstly, digitalisation, as we all know, has accelerated in the last year or two. Not only are more people connected to the internet than ever before, but they're doing a wider range of things for longer online. They're working, they're uploading and downloading their work, they're attending video conferences, they're video calling their grandmas, they're streaming and downloading content and games, they're participating in social media, they're buying a wider range of goods and services online, and they're paying bills as well. Beyond what people are doing, we're seeing more and more smart objects entering the household. Everything from fridges to wearables to light bulbs, even to things like connected toys, are now pretty commonplace. And each of these objects, while useful and delightful, also increases the risk profile for consumers and small businesses. In fact, there are two big flies in the ointment of connected living. First of these is the risk from cybercriminals. These guys, you know, haven't been sitting on their hands during the coronavirus crisis. They've been coming up with ever more sophisticated attacks. They don't care if you're a large enterprise or a grandma. If there's an upside of cash or data that they can turn into an opportunity for themselves, then they're interested. Your vulnerability is simply their opportunity. People are becoming more aware of the risks, and they're becoming increasingly concerned. And this fear could have a crippling effect on the uptake of digital services if people begin to avoid doing certain things online because they're scared of the risk involved. The second big fly in the digital ointment is the risk presented by poor experience. Now, everyone has experienced this in the last year. Our applications are running slow, our routers crashed, you can't get a good enough signal, the bandwidth isn't sufficient, your device is crashing on you, and so on. Most people, when faced with a suboptimal experience, do the same thing. They blame their network provider, irrespective of whether it's really their network provider's fault or not. So the CSP is already having to field a lot of inquiries and calls and complaints, and only some of that time is it actually something that's within their wheelhouse, something that they've actually done, or something they can fix. Nevertheless, if you're dissatisfied with your digital experience and you perceive that, you know, your service provider is doing a poor job of connecting you to the internet, then that's going to slow down your willingness to do things online. All of this were not enough. There's another thing on the horizon, and that's the new networks that we're busy rolling out, 5G and FTTP, if you're on the fixed line side of the business. But whatever the network type, both of these have been very expensive to roll out, and service providers are hoping to recoup their investments in fibre, spectrum, new equipment and towers as soon as possible. But more bandwidth and yet more technology is just another component of what is becoming a perfect storm. While large enterprises have the expertise, resources and technology to manage all of this, and still sometimes they get breached, and still sometimes they don't get the network experience that they actually need, small businesses and households, you know, have none of these things. B2C cyber protection only really protects devices, and it's got a license model, which means you, the customer, have to calculate how many licenses you need and then install software on the devices that you select to install it upon. But devices get missed. Visitor devices come into your home, and smart objects really aren't so smart, so it's actually very hard to secure them. The CPE, things like the routers, the home gateways and set-top boxes, are often left without adequate protection. From a customer's point of view, cybersecurity is hard, time-consuming and boring. They're also feeling increasingly out of their depth, having to ensure everything stays connected and that everything is working as it should. But all of this has created an opportunity. CSPs throughout the world have identified that they're in an ideal position to add value to their core offering by adding additional services to basic network provision. And unlike many of the much-touted services that are going to revolutionise our balance sheets, if industry commentators are to be believed, such as IoT and virtual reality, etc., these services are ones that have proven demand and for which customers are prepared to pay, and they're prepared to pay now. This has certainly been the experience of those CSPs that have launched such services. So let's dig into this, the commercial side, a little bit more. For a start, these are not enterprise cybersecurity services. They're provided by CSPs as an additional element to their network offer, and we call this a Network Plus service. And they're priced to be affordable for households and SMEs. They also incorporate more than just cybersecurity. They include things like privacy protection, parental controls, business controls, service assurance, ID protection, insurance, smart home automation and home Wi-Fi management. Why they're appealing to customers is that they're effortless. Your devices are automatically connected and one service covers laptops, mobile phones, smart objects, CPE and so on. The service also moves with you. Wherever you are, while you're connected to the network, you're still covered. And there's the option of extending that even into roaming scenarios. These services also go beyond providing just things like cloud storage to ensure backups happen regularly, and they keep your devices running as they should, so they diagnose faults and they either flag up problems or ideally they remotely and automatically fix the problems that have been detected. We call this sector Connected Customer Assurance and Protection Services, or CCAPS. And we've deliberately not put the word cybersecurity into that because we don't think that households and even SMEs actually use the word cybersecurity. We wanted to also differentiate it from enterprise cybersecurity solutions to avoid confusion. CSPs that have launched these kind of services aren't calling them cybersecurity services either. They tend to call them things like secure connections or secure services. Okay, so let's move on to the good news. The good news is that, you know, these services are proving to be popular with customers and they're delivering ARPU lifts of £2, $2, €2 for basic offers per month. But there's potential to grow that by a lot more as offers become more sophisticated. In fact, research has shown that customers, depending on the market, are prepared to pay up to £5, $5 or €5 for this kind of service. And in fact, Virgin Media recently launched a CCAPS offer in the UK, and that is being priced at £5 a month for customers of their standard services. The customers of their premium services are getting it for free. These services are very popular with customers. So Telefonica launched a service called Connection Segura about a year ago, and they've seen over 50% take up of that service and double digit growth every month thereafter. They're working with a lot. Virgin Media, with that service that I just mentioned, they're working with a vendor called Plume. Mio, which is a brand of Altice Portugal, launched a service called Net Segura in October, and they're working with a lot as well. Yoigo has launched something slightly different. They've launched an ID protection service based on tech from a Swedish vendor called Ion ID. And A1 over in Austria have gone with a new vendor called Whalebone, which I understand they've strategically invested in. These are just a few examples of the kind of activity we're seeing in the market today. But for more information about the vendors that are active in this market, what service providers are rolling out, partnerships, M&A and investment activity, then please inquire about our CCAPS tracker service. In the meanwhile, we can also offer you a green paper on this topic, which you can download for free from our website at omnisperience.com. What you're going to hear from us in this area in the next few months is a more in-depth technical description of these offers, some thought leadership on how this category is going to develop and how it can be applied, and a vendor map of the market. So if you're a vendor and you want to ensure you're on our map, then please do get in touch with us. It's free to participate in the vendor map. Hopefully this has given you a little bit of a heads up on this exciting new development in the service provider market. Keep your eyes peeled on this in 2021, including some thought leadership, which we're going to roll out. And if you're a vendor and you'd like to sponsor some thought leadership in this area so that we can make it available to the market for free, then please get in touch with us. In the meanwhile, please stay tuned because I've got three great interviews coming up for you on this topic. To begin with, I've got Michael Downs from Positive Technologies, who's going to talk about the wholesale aspects of this kind of service. Then we're going to talk to Akamai's Bruce Van Nice, who's going to talk about the cybersecurity issues. And finally, we've got Shane McCarthy from Irdeto, who's going to talk about putting it all together into a trusted home solution that's about the partnership that they've got going on with Minim. Great insights coming up just after the music. I'm very pleased to welcome Michael Downs from Positive Technology. Michael, welcome to the Omniscene. Could you begin, please, by introducing yourself and Positive Technology to our listeners?
Yes, Andy. Hello, Teresa. Very nice to speak to you. So I'm the UK and EMEA Managing Director for Positive Technologies. And what we do is we work across region, in fact, globally with MNOs to deliver a greater level of security and services to their customers. Positive Technologies, just briefly, is actually one of the largest telecom cybersecurity research organizations in the world. And everything that we've developed, everything that we do actually comes from that research. So what we've actually produced and are taking to market is our vulnerability assessments, but also an IDS, a monitoring platform, and also an IPS, so a next generation firewall that goes with it.
Fantastic. And for those listeners who want to find out more about your company, how can they do that?
Yeah, a number of ways. I'm happy for people to email me directly. So it's michael.downs, and that's D-O-W-N-S, at positive-tech.com, or go via the website, so positive-tech.com. And it's a really, really good website. As I said, about all that research, we actually publish it on the website. So it's all free. They can all download it, and it goes from our signaling, our heritage signaling research all the way through to our latest stuff that we've done around 5G. So either Google signaling security, 5G security, Positive Technologies, or go directly to our website.
Great. Well, so as you mentioned there, Michael, in your introduction, telecoms is very close to your heart at Positive Technologies. Could you begin by telling us a little bit about the sort of things that you're doing in the telecom space at the moment?
Yeah, it comes down to one fundamental thing, and that's really we're helping the MNOs globally to protect the investment that they've made, not only in their networks, but also their brand, but also the goodwill and the trust that they've actually built up with their customers over the years. So that's ultimately what we're trying to do, we're trying to keep that integrity there. Going back, historically, our focus was originally around the vulnerabilities in the signaling protocol, so SS7, Diameter, and GTP. And in fact, as far back as May 2017, we actually went public with some research that we did with a live network. where we identify the fact that an attacker anywhere in the world only needs to have your telephone number and can track your location or listen to your calls. They can DOS the individual, but also DOS MNO's network and also do SMS interception. And that seems to be the one that's really got people's imagination and has really hit publicly, you know, so where people have had their one-time passwords intercepted and where people have been able to take over bank accounts, transfer money and things like that. So that, and some of those instances have gone public. But what we've also found is that as we move through to the next generation of networks, so 5G, some of those underlying vulnerabilities still make an impact there. So we've done a lot of research around 5G non-standalone networks, and most recently, at the end of last year, standalone network. From this research, we've developed these capabilities for the security assessments and also the monitoring and the firewalls. And all of these can be deployed onto the mobile operators' networks themselves, which they can manage themselves. So what it enables them to do is to actually be proactive to the attacks that are happening and do something about it. The difficulty is actually seeing these attacks. So by taking our monitoring platform, they can actually see them and then decide what they're going to do when they've actually identified the attack. Over 30% of these vulnerabilities are down to misconfigurations in the operators' networks. And it's not because they're doing something that they shouldn't be doing. It's just that as they glue all these things together, things aren't configured in the best way and so can open them up for attacks. By deploying the monitoring platform, they can see what's actually going on and then they can manage it. And in fact, this is something that's emphasized by GSMA and NISA, where they're saying, look, you need to put things in place where you can manage these attacks and then do something proactively about it.
So I noticed that you recently announced you were working with iBasis, the IPX provider. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing with them, Michael?
Yeah, we're really, really pleased about this and really excited about this. As I explained to you previously, the platform, which is called Telecom Attack Discovery, traditionally would fit into the operator's network. Now, what we're able to do is by working with iBasis, who are actually one of the world's leading IPX providers or IP packet exchange providers. So they're in a really, really good position to be able to provide security for the MNO. They've launched this offering, which is called IQ360, and it's live now. Listeners can actually Google iBasis and IQ360, and they'll see that. So what it does, it allows the telecom attack discovery to be in the cloud and allows the operators to manage and monitor those attacks. It allows them to do it in real time as well. So effectively, it gives them, without any large CapEx or internal OpEx investment, to actually do the things they're required to do by seeing these attacks and managing these attacks. In turn, what it means is that they don't have to make that investment, which means they can actually make investments into building their own offerings. So it allows them to take a service that they don't need to have on site that will give them all the benefits of all of our research and allow them to be very reactive to any attacks that may impact them and their customers.
So, as you know, Michael, we are just launching this new cybersecurity sector, CCAPS, Connected Customer Assurance and Protection Services. And that's very much a front-end service that's aimed at small businesses and households and individuals and provided by telecom service providers. But listening to what you're telling me, what you're saying is, in order for that kind of service to work, to deliver the level of security and the quality of service that customers now expect, service providers really have to focus on the wholesale side of their offering as well.
Absolutely. You know, security is absolutely vital to the well-being of the operators and their customers. You know, so the earlier in the chain that the operator can get control of these attacks, the stronger they're going to be. And by working with iBasis, they're able to identify, manage, and ultimately mitigate those attacks that can impact the networks and directly or indirectly their customers. Even at a basic level, by stopping these attacks early in the attack vector, it will provide the operators time to react, time to actually manage them, time to actually do something about it. Taking this service, looking at things earlier, they're able for them to actually go and provide further value-added services, which will not only increase their ARPU that they're getting with their customer, be it in a B2B or B2C environment, or even a B2B2C environment, but it would also improve that customer retention by establishing a greater level of trust and also the brand that they associate with it. In the end, it's a win-win for the operators. You know, they'll get more revenues, then improve the RGU, so the revenue generating units that they're actually delivering to their customers, and therefore they'll increase the stickiness and deliver a greater differentiation in the market.
Yeah, I agree, Michael. I think there's a great deal of benefit to the operators from actually involving themselves in CCAP services, you know, tactical, commercial and strategic advantages. But in order to gain all of these advantages, what's your key advice to operators? What should they be thinking about?
Yeah, so what they've got to do is they've got to see security as an opportunity and not just an overhead. For too long, they've been looking at security as something they need to do, but not necessarily they would rather invest in other areas. You know, this is a great opportunity for them to not only help them in protecting their customers, but also their investments and also what they're able to deliver to the market and to their investors. Security should be used as something that will allow them to stand out, allow them to have a key differentiator. Because if you look at fixed line market, you know, for many years they've been saying that, you know, that security is something that they can add, they can charge for, and take them away from purely the speeds and feeds. So I think the mobile operators need to step up into that and do something similar. But if that demand by users is not enough, they need to start thinking about what's happening from regulators and from the law that's being introduced in some countries as well. So you've already seen the EU that they've launched something called the EU Toolbox on Security. And in fact, the UK have taken that one step further and they're now introducing the Telecoms Bill, where they will impact fines onto the UK operators of either 10% of turnover or £100,000 a day. From what I'm seeing is, I think this will just be the thin end of the wedge. I think you'll see more and more countries putting these type of laws in place, certainly across the EU. So security is not just something, is being something that needs to be looked at. It's now very, very high on everyone's agenda across multiple of the stakeholders inside the MNO. The dynamic is changing. You know, where historically the attack vector or the people that have been attacked, they're using the operator as a means to get to that end person or end device. I think what you're going to be finding, certainly with 5G, is that the MNO will be the center of the attack. They will be the ones that organizations will be going after, because by impacting them, it's got a greater consequence than purely just going after individuals or sets of individuals.
I recently caught up with Bruce Van Nys from Akamai. Bruce is the Senior Product Marketing Manager for the carrier business at Akamai. I wanted to find out more about what Akamai were doing in the connected customer assurance and protection space and what he thought the prospects were for carriers rolling out this kind of offer. Hi Bruce, it's great to have you here on the Omniscene. Could you begin please by introducing yourself and Akamai?
Sure, my name is Bruce Van Nys. I work as a Senior Product Marketing Manager at Akamai, and they're very well known in the security and content delivery world. So I've worked in this industry in serving providers across the board around the world for longer than I'd care to admit. I'm actually really proud of the career that I've had. I think it's remarkable what we as a community have done and all the good that the internet does. It's easy to see the news and think, wow, there's bad things on the internet, but it's dwarfed by the good things. And I'm really pleased to have been a part of that, working with these providers everywhere.
As you say, Bruce, Akamai are very well known in the enterprise cybersecurity space. But what might be perhaps less well known is the substantial activity that you have in the carrier space, you know, recently boosted by your acquisition of Acavi. We're forecasting that the connected customer assurance and protection market, or CCAPs as we call it, is really hot proposition for carriers in the next few years and highly strategic for them because it acts as a foundation upon which they're going to grow additional future revenues. Can you tell us a little bit about what Akamai has to offer in this space and your view of the market going forward?
Yeah, you know, you mentioned Asavie, and that's certainly a recent event. I'll talk about that in a minute. But this is an area that we've been focused on for a long time. It goes back to the early days with providers. You know, they've been wrestling with differentiation and saturation, and that has implications for revenue and growth. And so they're looking for ways to enhance their services. And for them, it's always been about customer experience. In the old days, it was performance and availability. You know, go look at every ad, and that's what it's about. And they've realized they need to do more than that. That became table stakes a long time ago. And so security has been really central, and personalization aspects have also been important when they give their subscriber customers the opportunity to personalize their service in some way. It can improve retention and customer satisfaction. So in fact, we have a category of products which we call security and personalization services, which providers everywhere deploy to do just that. So there's a security piece and there's a personalization piece, and we make it easy for the provider to offer these services, and they in turn make it extraordinarily easy for their subscriber customers to use them. So you mentioned Asavie, and to circle back to that, they have some great cellular technology that drops right into this category. They have a security component, and they have a component that allows a business to control some aspects of what the worker can do with the device. So for example, prohibit navigation to sites that maybe are more appropriate during personal time, like maybe gambling or adult content, and during business hours on a corporate-owned device, those are not permissible. Or even, you know, maybe further than that, if it's a tablet that has a corporate function on it, it could be more sorts of filtering. But all that's easy to do. It all works in the network. There's no client. So it just, you know, drops beautifully into this idea of customer experience.
So I think what's really interesting, Bruce, is that in addition to the cybersecurity technology that Akamai has either developed or acquired, you've also formed a partnership with the smart home automation and Wi-Fi optimization vendor Plume to widen out the solution that you can offer to your service provider customers. I think that's very interesting.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you bring that up, because it, once again, it drops right into this category. They've done a great job of making it easy for providers to control their subscriber experience in a completely different way. You know, I mentioned earlier I was having some issues with my home network, and it's a big frustration for all of us. We all spend our days here, and our children spend their days here. And so when you have an issue, it's really consequential. And so Plume has some great technology that can actually do some self-healing. You know, they can look and see what's happening in a home network and make adjustments to the Wi-Fi to make it better. I actually got some of their stuff recently, and I can tell you it works beautifully. It really made a big difference. So for the provider, this is a really good thing on many fronts. I mean, there's the obvious customer satisfaction issue. Satisfaction leads to retention. There's a differentiation angle that leads to a revenue opportunity. In terms of the way that Plume built their solution, they have an incredible cloud service that can gather data and reduce the overall operational costs as well. So there's aspects with reducing support calls and simplifying the operational burden that are consequential as well. So you kind of get a return on that side too. In terms of our role there, one of the things we're known for, I talked about the security piece that we've done for many years. An area where we invest very heavily is in developing threat intelligence. So we actually get live data that we process in real time, and we find threats and we pipe it out the other end. So raw data comes in, we process it, we discover bad things, we put them in a feed, and that can be sent to our customers. Depending on the threat, literally there's a few seconds of delay. Some things require more time because there's a validation piece that needs to happen. And so it could be a few minutes, but that's kind of the worst case scenario. So if you think about it, this is a really positive development for a provider, because it's another thing that we can just take off the table. They get a dynamic threat feed that covers their services. It's changing as the threats change. And essentially, they don't have to intervene at all. For the customer, it just works too. Literally, they don't even know it's there. They don't have to do anything to use it. They don't have to configure anything. They don't have to download anything. Every device that they have is covered because it's a network-based solution. So there's a lot of benefits that accrue on both sides.
Well, Bruce, I mean, to some extent, you're preaching to the choir here, because we're great believers in this kind of service offering here at Omnisperience. And we're forecasting massive take-up in carriers globally over the next few years. I mean, it really is a no-brainer, because the benefits of this kind of service are so wide-ranging, as you say, from improving the customer experience to driving up loyalty to creating a new revenue stream for yourself. And that really important bit, which is to provide that foundation for future revenue streams coming from those new networks that you just spent so much money rolling out. But I want to get down into the detail a bit here, Bruce. I mean, in your experience, having worked with a lot of service providers globally, can you tell us a little bit about the practicality of rolling out this kind of service? You know, if I'm a service provider considering doing this, can you share a bit of your experience on how this works in the wild?
Yeah, there's a whole nother area, you know, not a big secret, it's pretty visible, the whole cloud service realm. And, you know, providers, I think it's fair to say, have been a little bit slow on the uptake. And I think it's just because of their heritage. They're accustomed to building things for themselves. And there's strong reasons why they've done that, because in the past, they were better at it than most people, and that's changed, and cloud services have proven to be reliable and ubiquitous and economical. So we're starting to see uptake on the provider side, and we've migrated our capabilities into the cloud as well, so we can remove that whole side of the operational equation, and that's significant. It can take providers a long time to make the changes into their network to deploy new infrastructure, and if you can remove that with a cloud service, it's a win-win. They can get to market quickly. You know, we as a vendor can get them on board more quickly versus a really intensive professional services engagement where you basically go handcraft everything in their network. You point them at a cloud service. There are things that need to be integrated. I'm not at all going to deny that. You got to integrate with the operational systems that they have and IP address management systems and that sort of stuff. But that's a pretty short list compared to deploying a service in the network that requires hosts and, you know, they need to be secured and all the things that come along with that. So we really changed the equation in that regard as well. And you know, this just plays directly to what we keep saying over and over in terms of customer experience. They can get on board and get services out there quickly that add to that equation.
Great, Bruce. Well, it's been brilliant talking to you today. If our listeners want to find out more about what Akamai's got to offer in this area, how can they engage with you? How can they find out more about your offering?
You can send a mail to carrier@akamai.com. I'll spell our name because sometimes people aren't familiar. AKAMAI.com. So you can send an email, or some of the customers may have some visibility into a local representative, and that's always a great avenue as well.
Great, Bruce. Thanks. So it just remains for me to ask you, what are your top tips for a service provider who's looking to roll out a CCAPS offering?
You know, there's two things I'll say. Providers need to take advantage of the power of their networks. They have this incredible resource, and I'm not suggesting they're not aware of that. Of course they are, but they need to have this confidence that we can go out and beat the over-the-top players. We have networks that are highly reliable, they're performant, we're layering in these security capabilities, and they need to just get their foot out there and say, we're going to go do this, take that step. And that leads to the second thing, which is, you can't compete from the sidelines. So there's this tendency in traditional cultures to sit and watch and wait and see what happens in a market. I think providers need to get a bit more aggressive and do what the OTT guys do. They have this fail fast sort of notion, and I'm not suggesting they need to go there because the stakes are higher, but I think they need to be a bit more agile and realize, you know, if we want to compete, we got to be in the game. You can't compete from the sidelines.
One of the key aspects of a CCAP service is it incorporates several elements, including cybersecurity, smart home technology, and things like Wi-Fi optimization. To find out more about this kind of solution, I spoke to Odetto's Shane McCarthy. Hi, Shane, and welcome to the Omnisene. Could you begin by introducing yourself and Odetto to our listeners, please?
Sure. Hi, Teresa. So my name is Shane McCarthy. I am the Chief Operating Officer for Erdetto. Erdetto is a platform security company based out of Holland. We are about 50 years old, so we've got a pretty deep heritage. We cover security in video entertainment, in gaming, connected transport, IoT, connected health, connected medical care. We're a global company, about 1,000 people, and it's a pretty fun place to work for a cybersecurity company.
So we're forecasting really rapid take-up of these assurance and protection services, which we call CCAPs. We think that service providers are ideally placed to deliver this kind of service and create new revenue streams for themselves. But what do you think?
You know, never is there a time when this is more relevant with a global pandemic, where not only are we working at home, I'm working at home right now as I talk to you and talk to your listeners. I've got three children that are being homeschooled. Luckily, there's no one screaming in the background. You know, everyone is working at home in some way, shape or form right now. And I think there are a lot of threats, shall we say, and challenges that the home environment faces. And, you know, we've done a few studies. One of our studies shows that most people are prepared to pay, you know, a reasonable amount of money for protecting the home from an electronic point of view, you know, from a cybersecurity, dare I use that term, point of view. And I think for CSPs in particular, this is an opportunity that's been around for some time. I think the pandemic is going to accelerate that opportunity. So it's definitely, someone's got to own the protection of the home. Just like you'd have a burglar alarm in your home, someone's got to own the electronic security of your home. And really the CSPs are ideally placed, I think, to do that.
Yeah, I think, and there's both direct and immediate revenues to be had here, but also there's a much more strategic play, because I think that this is really underpinning all those revenues that they want to make in the future. But I know you've got this trusted home solution that you've formed via a partnership with a firm called Minim. Could you actually tell us a little bit about that, Shane?
Sure. So we have a solution called Trusted Home. Trusted Home has essentially got three pillars to it. One is parental control. Two is security, general IoT security. And three is Wi-Fi optimization. And we have a simple UI around this, so my mum can use it, which is my litmus test, any user interface. It's a pretty lightweight agent that goes in any kind of device. It is device agnostic, and by that I mean we're not linked to any particular hardware vendor, so we can cut across, you know, any hardware vendor that's an ISP or CSP wants to work with. We've got a nice app that goes on your phone or your iPad, where the consumer can then control and use the various settings in the home, and it's pretty intuitive. And I would say, you know, if I look at what else is on the market, there are not many that kind of bring these three pillars together in one easy to use system. Now, what we obviously provide is the security piece. You know, if I go back to the three pillars, parental controls, that's about, you know, being able to reasonably set controls around what your children might watch, be it time-based, be it content filtering, be it having to pause or unpause their access to the internet. If they're doing their schoolwork, you may not want them watching YouTube or being on Facebook or Twitter, for example. Wi-Fi optimization is kind of what it says, really. It's, as we all work from home, I certainly find sometimes I have to move from one room to another, because one of the kids might need access, or my wife might need access to a different room. So being able to roam around the home freely and not lose signal, particularly when you're on calls, is really important. And then kind of lastly, the whole security piece, that's really about, you know, giving people a sense of assurance, really, that they are safe and their children are safe inside the home from the various kind of threats that exist out there, be it kind of phishing scams, be it your kids accessing rogue websites, it might be a camera that, you know, you might have a Wi-Fi IP enabled camera that's doing something that we think is not right. We can flag that to you. We can block it for a period until it gets resolved. So that's it, really, I guess. It's anchored to those three pillars.
Yeah, we're also believers in this market, Shane, but the market is at the moment still relatively immature, and we believe that over the course of the next few years, you're going to see lots of new entrants, you're going to see partnerships, you're going to see M&A activity to try to put together a wider solution that addresses the needs of customers. But as things stand, you're right, there aren't that many companies that have got this wider offer. So what do you think your secret sauce is in terms of your trusted home offer?
I would say our USP is kind of twofold. From an operator point of view, it's the hardware. We're a hardware agnostic, so we're not tied to any particular hardware. It's a pretty lightweight agent that goes inside the box. or you know, be that box a set-top box or some sort of DOCSIS cable modem. In terms of our experience, we're 50 years in cybersecurity and platform security, so I think it's fair to say that we know our stuff, and so you are going to be secure working with an Ardetto-based product. And I think it is as simple as that. It brings those three pillars together in a very easy-to-use, consumer-friendly service offering. We're not tied to any particular hardware. So for this, for us, this is a cloud-based offering. Yeah, there's an agent that goes in the box, and we're working on our deep heritage and security.
So I know you've already got quite a big customer base for this kind of offer. So when you think about where your customers are located, would you say that this is more of a North American or European offer? Where are your customers currently?
I know our footprint is, I would say, reasonably evenly kind of distributed geographically. We've got a real strong presence in the Americas. Europe is a big region for us because we're headquartered in Amsterdam, in Europe itself. Our parents is South African. So Sub-Saharan Africa, we have a very significant presence, Middle East, Asia, ANZ. So we are truly a global player here. And when it comes to understanding the threats that consumers face, that gives us a tremendous advantage because we're gathering intelligence every day, every hour, every day. Our intelligence gets better and we can see trends that are kind of moving across the globe.
So based on all of your experience, Shane, if there is a service provider out there that's thinking about rolling out this kind of service, what would your advice to them be?
I think it's relatively straightforward. I think they should, go to our website. There's plenty of material on there. It's a lightweight agent, as I say, so it doesn't require a lot of work for the hardware vendor to integrate. The back end is all cloud-based, so that cuts across every service vendor. It can be tailored for sure, but the core cloud technology is just that. It's core cloud technology. So I would say go to our website, have a look at Trust at Home. There's plenty of material on there, and reach out to us or contact us if there's any questions or anything specific you want to ask us.
Yeah, just remind us what your website is again.
It's ardetto.com.
Brilliant. Well, it just remains for me to thank Shane for joining us today. And for listeners that want to find out more about Ardetto, it's ardetto.com. Shane, what are your top tips then for listeners who want to roll out this kind of offer?
Take a look at what top operators are doing globally. So don't just look at what you're doing yourself. Look around the world at what other operators are doing. Talk to people like us who work with a multitude of operators globally so you can get a view of the emerging threats and also the emerging business models. Survey your customer base. Find out what challenges Shane and Teresa are facing at home. Listen to them, understand it, come with solutions. And it will reduce your churn. It'll make your consumers far stickier to you. It'll reduce calls into the call center. It'll reduce call times. You'll have a much more loyal subscriber.
Well, that's it for this issue of the OmniScene. I'd just like to thank Michael Downs from Positive Technology, Bruce Van Nice from Akamai, and of course, Shane McCarthy from Ardetto for talking to us and sharing their experience. If you'd like to find out more about this CCAPS concept, then there's a free green paper that you can download from our website at omnisperience.com. And if you'd like to subscribe to our CCAPS tracker service, or to sponsor some thought leadership in the CCAPS area, then please feel free to drop me a line, tc@omnisperience.com. In our next issue, we're going to be talking about inclusivity and what that actually means from a strategy, systems, and process point of view. Meanwhile, that's it from us for this month. So thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoyed it.